Hello, everybody. How you doing? Hope all is well. Welcome to our asynchronous class. Welcome to our asynchronous philosophy work together, fall 2020. I'm very excited to work with everybody. I do think this will be a meaningful experience. I'm hoping to offer a lot of value to all of you, and I'm hoping to hear from as many of you as I can via email about what you find interesting and what you'd like to learn about as we move through this semester together. So keeping that in mind, the first few episodes, and I'm just going to call them episodes for the sake of this discussion. First few episodes, I'm going to kind of lead the way here, right? So this first one will be about the syllabus. It'll be a little bit about our approach to philosophy that we're going to take this semester. And then after this, once we kind of explain a little bit about what philosophy is, I'm going to ask that you read the syllabus. It offers more information about this. There are a couple other episodes I'm going to probably give to us that will get us thinking a little bit about types of techniques and practices we might want to establish. And then after these first few episodes, I really want to hear from people, right? So although this is asynchronous, I really want to hear from people in regards to what you all want to study for the rest of the semester, right? So we're going to talk today in a little bit about the books I've posted to Blackboard. Those will be our only texts for our work together. So please don't buy anything. And what I would like to do, again, after these first few episodes, is give everyone an opportunity to go into the books, see which topics you find interesting, right? Because the hope for philosophy is that it can improve our lives in a number of ways, right? So practicing philosophy is valuable in and of itself, right? That being said, it could also serve us in every avenue of our existence, right? So being in this class is an opportunity to improve the way you are in your friendships, the way you might be in your family relationships. It might help you be a better significant other. It might help you become a better student. It might help you eventually, or if you're currently working too, right, help you in your job, your career, your vocation, right? So when we're talking about what is philosophy, right, of course, it's the love of wisdom, etymologically, right? When you break the word down, philo and sophia, meaning love of wisdom. And we're going to approach it in the following ways, right? So we're going to look at philosophy as the art of living, as a way of life, and as a form of therapy, right? So these three things kind of connect. We're going to be studying a lot of the ancient Greek, ancient Roman philosophical approaches, among many others, of course, as you'll see in our books. That being said, this approach, there's a lot of very rich examples, philosophers, philosophies from the ancient world that really embody these approaches very nicely. So you'll find in our books, we have a lot of Stoicism, for example, one ancient school of philosophy that we're going to look at a lot that really took this approach and ran with it, right? Really took this approach very seriously. And it's one that, as I said a moment ago, will help us not only in the sort of external, like moral development way, right? So when I'm saying, you know, friendships, romantic relationships, family relationships, work, right? Work and love kind of being two major things. Those are both functioning on a moral level. So the way we interact with the world, what we offer the world, how we interpret the world, we're going to cultivate all of that, right? To make sure it's as deliberate, as thoughtful, as intentional, as just, as truthful as it can be. And then we also have this sort of other element of philosophy where it's ethical self-development, right? So we're developing ourselves aesthetically, ourselves spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, right? So we're not only focusing, let's say, on how we could be the best friends we can possibly be, which that will come up. We have a whole chapter on relationships and love. Friendship's a huge part of that chapter. But we're also going to focus on how could we be calmer people, maybe, right? Maybe we want to work on that. Maybe we want to work on being more patient, more confident, right? We have a great chapter on fear and confidence, for example. Maybe we want to lead a more balanced life, a more productive life, a happier life, a more joyful life. We want a greater sense of purpose, greater sense of meaning on a daily basis. All of these things are things that we're going to cover this semester. And again, I want to hear what you all want to work on the most, right? Maybe you want to focus on the chapter. We have a great chapter on coping, right? Which deals a lot with anxiety. For example, that's a huge part of that chapter. How can we be less anxious, right? So all these topics are sort of within the realm of what we hopefully will get to this semester together, right? So when we're talking about what is philosophy, philosophy is this sort of journey, this pursuit of working to know ourselves, right? That great Socratic idea, know thyself, to care for ourselves, to shape ourselves and transform ourselves. And then also we want to be focusing on how we can serve others. All right, so again, it's working in multiple ways, all of which I think are really useful, really profound. And we're going to be having a number of different types of conversations in our work together, one of which will be listening to this podcast or these recordings. And the others, of course, as we'll see with the syllabus, will involve reading and writing. right? So there will be a weekly writing requirement in this class. We'll talk more specifically about it as we just continue the lecture today. And of course, also those writings will be fueled by what we read and what we listen to, right? So let's for a moment stick with this idea of what is philosophy, right? And what are the sort of goals of philosophy? And I've been mentioning a few of them already, but I want to dive a little bit more specifically into our syllabus. So give me 1 second here. All right, great. So on our syllabus, and we'll get to the first half, of course, we have the sort of basic general stuff of how the class will function. Before we get into that, as I said, I want to talk a little bit about the second half of the syllabus, which sort of answers questions, why come to class? Why are we here? What is philosophy and what can philosophy do? Right. So one common theme you'll see throughout the class that you see on the syllabus already is I tried to make everything, each reading is numbered to make it a little bit easier for you to go back into the text, see where you were, keep your place, right? And if we were in class, it'd make our conversation much easier because you could just call our attention to not only a page number, but the number of the section on the page that you're referencing, right? So ultimately, why come to class? And we have this great idea being offered from Pierre Hadot's work in this section, or a couple great ideas, of course, about why bother showing up, right? So if we want to work on, let's say, creating a greater sense of order in our lives. Order for what end? Well, order towards our own purposes. And what should our purposes be? Well, as we said, our purposes should be to lead maybe confident, tranquil lives where we are of service to others. And we have to work on ourselves, right? And that's one huge part of this why come to class, the opening statement from Friedman that Hadot highlighted in his work, Philosophy is a Way of Life, that we're going to be referencing a lot this semester, right? He's saying here, and we could agree or disagree with this, this will come up again for sure, but maybe things are chaotic, right? For the Stoics, for example, they didn't believe that the universe was chaotic or random. They believed it was ordered. Let's say, for argument's sake, their rival school or a school of philosophy that was different than theirs, it put different emphasis on different things. The Epicurean school, also in the ancient world, said that the universe was chaotic and random, right? But the Stoics are like, look, even if you're right, don't you want to create a sense of orderliness in your own life, a sense of clarity in your own life? And for that, they would say we have to practice philosophy, right? And that's the work on the self that we're talking about here in this first section of the syllabus, why come to class. Friedman's telling us, try to get rid of your own passions and vanities and the itch for talk about your own name. So get out of your own, let's say, obsession with your ego. Don't worry about that. Love all free human beings. Become eternal by transcending yourself. This work on yourself is necessary. And then below that, we're saying we come in this class to craft a common effort, a community of research, mutual assistance, and spiritual support for the aim of working on ourselves. Right. So that's why also in my head, I'm like, let me try to create some podcast episodes such that we could at least communicate with each other in lieu of meeting in person, right? This community of research, well, what are we researching? A lot of what we're going to talk about in this class, or let's put it this way, you are the main subject of this class. What we'll find with one major element of the course that I am hoping that we take seriously, of course, we're not in class, so it's a bit difficult for me to make sure we're doing these things, although for the take-home writing, two of the three options I'll provide to you involve this book, right? But we will be practicing what we will discuss, or what we'll be doing pretty much every week, hopefully, is something called philosophical meditation, right? So philosophical meditation, as we'll understand it, is more or less taking time out of your day. If we were in class, it would be about 10 minutes every class to examine ourselves through questioning, right? So I have a whole book for us that is an analog to the other book called Bibliotherapy, right? Which is a collection of texts that I've compiled for us. It's an anthology that we'll be reading from that every week as well. Each chapter in the Bibliotherapy book is accompanied by a chapter in the Philosophical Meditations book. So let's say we have the chapter on fear and confidence. That chapter in the Philosophical Meditations book, and I can't remember the exact number, but for argument's sake, could be like 30 questions, most of which will be aimed at you. Right, so I'm asking you to really examine yourself, consider your own ways of being, your own ways of thinking, feeling, and acting such that you can move beyond your current limitations. And that's the work on the self that Friedman and, you know, through Hadot's eyes here, is highlighting for us and why come to class, which is to say in our case, right, why listen to the podcast? Why do the readings? Why do the writing? Well, philosophy is an opportunity to transform ourselves. And we should all want to do that, right? We should all, let's say even ceaselessly, all of our lives try to grow in the healthiest ways possible, try to develop ourselves. Each of the conversations and beyond that, each episode of the podcast, hopefully, each quote of the book, each opportunity to write is a chance to do what Friedman and what Hadot are saying here, right? And even the idea of a common effort, although we're not meeting, right? These philosophers become your interlocutors. They become the people with whom you're talking every week, right? Even the podcast becomes something that you can engage with in a kind of common effort. I'm here, I'm giving these lectures, I'm also working on me too, right? I'm seeing all of this as well as an opportunity for my own growth and development, not only as a teacher, but just as a person, right? Because even for me, of course, I've, you know, some of the stuff this semester is new. I always try to develop something new for my classes, but ultimately some of the stuff I have seen before, but I'm not the same. And that's the approach I take, right? I'm looking at this with new eyes now. So even for me, someone who's been teaching for a few years, working on, you know, working with similar syllabi and what have you, these ideas still give me the opportunity to grow and to work on myself, right? And the idea too of spiritual support, especially in these times, that's what philosophy is here for. Philosophy is like a companion, right? Marcus Aurelius, we're going to talk about him a lot. Famous Stoic thinker, famous Roman emperor, featured prominently in the great movie Gladiator, starring Russell Crowe. Watch that movie if you get a chance. Said, right, you know, life is chaotic at times, or life is difficult at times, let's say. Life is challenging. He was the Roman emperor, the most powerful person on the face of the earth, right? He had to deal with plagues, invasions, famine, right? And we watch him in his meditations, really writing for and to and with himself to develop himself to be the best leader, the best person, the best father, the best friend, all these things that he could be, right? The meditations, a text that we'll return to, you'll see it throughout the book, I include a lot of it, was not written with the intention of sharing it, right? So not only do we get these great philosophical ideas from someone who was trained in the Stoic school of philosophy, but we're also getting a very inside look at what an effective practice is. Right? To write for ourselves, we have a whole book in our Blackboard called Self-Writing. Called Self-Writing Guide. I'm going to be doing a lecture on that I'll be sharing with all of you, right? We need to be perhaps self-writing. At the very least, I think we need some type of spiritual practice, right? Self-writing is a form of philosophy. It's a form of a spiritual practice that helps us work on ourselves. And I'm not going to talk too much about that now, because again, we have a whole book on it, we'll return to it. But I really strongly suggest that you all consider adopting some type of self-writing practice on a daily, if not every couple of days, or even maybe weekly basis, right? But adopting a practice, philosophical practice, a spiritual practice, is something I think that this class will encourage you to do. And it all flows back to this idea of working on ourselves and of working to craft a common effort, mutual assistance, and working to be of service to other people as well. All right, so that's just, again, a brief overview of the Why Come to Class section. I do think you should give this a read, of course. I'm going to ask you to do this for homework. And let's go to the next section, right? Why are we here? What is philosophy? What can philosophy do? As I already said, right, and this is right from the syllabus, philosophy has many purposes, many epochs, and schools of thought. Right, so the following on our syllabus is generally saying, you know, speaking to how we will approach it. Right, so what are the goals of those of us who would say we practice philosophy, right? Which is, you know, now it's all of us because we're all here, right? Our goals in life, peace, serenity, right? Huge ideas. How can your life be more peaceful is a really interesting question. Why should we strive for peace? Right, what other type of spiritual goals might you want to set for yourself this semester, as we're now sort of unpacking this idea of what philosophy can bring to us and what it is, right? We might train ourselves to be indifferent to indifferent things. Big ideas here, train. How do we train ourselves? Well, the same way if you want to train to be a boxer, you'd have to learn certain techniques to be great. You have to practice them very frequently, very intensely, with focus, with passion. It's the same thing we could do for ourselves. Right. So again, back to this idea of techniques, applying ourselves, focusing, learning, right? Now, the idea of being indifferent to indifferent things, that's not just a Stoic idea, although the Stoics were very much, they're very, very into this idea, right? Why? Well, if we can start deciding and seeing and practicing the idea that we should learn to react differently to things that we can control versus things that we cannot control, right? We need to do that for the Stoics and others. This idea of benevolent or good indifference, we will constantly be bothered in life for the Stoics if we do not understand that we need to be indifferent or work to be indifferent to the best of our ability to things that we cannot control. Okay, we move as philosophers to be above our passions, which is to say to control them. We're going to talk about certain words a lot this semester. Passions, this idea of the ascent, right? Ascent is when you take something you're thinking or something, let's say thinking still works here, but something you're thinking and or perceiving, and to give it ascent means to make it in your mind true, to accept it as true. So you might be accepting things as true that are just false, because you're not gathering enough evidence or you're not looking at the evidence correctly. So another part of philosophy is we're learning to pursue truth. And that's truth within ourselves, and that's, you know, truths as we perceive them in our world, right? So we're training ourselves with that by learning to question ourselves more effectively and to not just be carried away by any, let's say, impulse or passion or emotion that rises up in us, or be carried away by any perception we might have in terms of, oh, here it is, and we assume it's true. We have to learn how to stop and question. Again, ourselves and others. That's how we keep ourselves above our passions, emotions, impulses, our doxa, right? Doxa is a Greek word, basically means opinion, right? So our doxa could either be good or bad. Well, if it has substantial evidence that we've questioned, it's a good doxa, right? But if it lacks that evidence, we haven't questioned it, well, then we have to not just accept it. It might be bad, right? It might be faulty. Okay, as philosophers, we're working to, you know, we're practicing the idea that we do not give in under the blows of fate, right? Which is to say, random stuff happens in the universe. Aristotle in Nicomachean Ethics is talking to his son, right? He tells him, look, nobody escapes chance. We're all going to have to deal with this stuff. Misfortune, you know, good fortune. What do you do under this? Well, philosophy can train us to, as this piece from our syllabus is saying, calculate things in advance. To create, let's say, useful understandings of potential misfortune, so we're not as surprised in life, right? Worse than getting punched is getting punched by surprise. So at the very least, and this is, you know, very, you know, very much, let's say, a Stoic idea, we could prepare ourselves for certain things that just kind of prepare us for life in general. Right, we're going to talk about the Stoic emphasis, and we could agree or disagree with this. It's a great point to argue. Some whole schools of philosophy would disagree with this idea, right? But one powerful idea we might even want to take with us today is the idea of memento mori, to remember we are mortal. We're really going to get into this, and I don't want to give too much of it today, but one of the points of this is, look, if you're aware of the fact that you're going to die, that everyone around you is you know, also going to pass away, not only will you take greater care of life, because we take care of things that we know are fragile, right? So we're going to live in a more conscious way. One of the key ideas we're going to talk about a lot this semester is prosake, which, again, I'm going to give it a general understanding, means vigilance. Vigilance over ourselves towards the goal of self-mastery, right? So let's apply this idea of memento mori. If you know you're not here forever, you're fragile. If you know your loved ones are not here forever, they're fragile. You're going to care for yourself and you're going to care for them more. If you're going on vacation and you're packing a suitcase, right? You maybe, you know, t-shirts, jeans, whatever. If you were also going to go see a family member or someone you cared about and you had a gift for them and it was like it was made of ceramic, right? You would wrap that gift. You would take greater care of that gift because you were aware of its fragility. It's the same thing with one of the reasons why we think of memento mori. Right? Think about an expiration date. This is a worse analogy, but I'm staring at my fridge right now. Sorry. Think about an expiration date on food. If you know the expiration date's coming up, you don't want to waste that food. You're going to eat it faster. Right? You're not going to leave it because you don't want to, again, have to throw it away. You don't want to waste it. So we won't waste life if we know we're running out of it. So maybe we need to remind ourselves of that. And again, think about how this could affect our relationships, right? If you're aware of the fact that everyone you know And this sounds upsetting, right? Maybe this doesn't work for everybody. But if we confront that enough, we might love more passionately. We might love more consciously. We might be awake to the importance of these relationships. We might be less numb to them if we wake ourselves up with the idea that we're not here forever. Let me make sure I put my best effort in right now. Right? And in the same paragraph from the syllabus, we're talking about the capacity to find joy in virtue. So it is virtuous to take care of the people in our lives that we care about. It is virtuous to, let's say, fulfill that duty, that obligation as fully as we possibly can. Right? So as we have these conversations again, we're getting some different ideas. My hope with our first day conversation is always to kind of talk about the class, but also offer you something useful that you might take away, right? So memento mori, great idea for philosophy and or a potential tattoo idea. Just saying, think about it. Extra credit for any tattoos inspired by the class. That's a joke. Don't email me like, I got a tattoo. I can't do that. But just a good idea. Right? Epictetus, one of the philosophers we're going to study a lot this semester too, another Stoic, would say to think about that a little bit every day, and maybe that'll give you some drive. We'll also talk about how memento mori might connect to helping us be afraid of the right things in the right way, such that we're not controlled by small fears too much. We'll get into that a little bit in another conversation likely, but just wanted to give us a little bit of a brief overview of that idea. So a little more of philosophy, right? As we've already been saying, kind of highlighting and let's say, not highlighting, but re-mentioning some things here. It's a mode of existing in the world, right? Which we can pretty much practice constantly. And the goal of which, once again, is to transform the whole of the individual's life. And think about how that might be, right? If you were 10%, let's say, more confident, that might carry over into every aspect of your life. And that'd be a beautiful thing. You might be 10% more patient. That would make you, once again, a calmer person. You'd move in the world differently. Right, even think about for a moment the somesthetics, right? Like the way somebody moves when they're confident. They walk different. And you do that constantly, right? They engage, they look at people differently when we're a little bit more confident maybe. That's a general form of engagement, right? So that's what we're looking for this semester. It's unlikely, right? Even let's even say with in regards to life in general, right? At this stage of life, if let's say you're, I don't know, how do I say this? Let's say you're grappling or you're struggling with a lack of confidence, for example, right? We're able to get 10% more confident. We're able to work on that. We're not born with a certain level of confidence and like that's it, right? We're not born with a certain level of patience and that's it. And maybe this is naive, right? Who knows? But I think from our perspective of philosophy, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that this might be the case, right? We can take control of some of that growth. Right. We will have conversations, I'm sure, about the degree to which we can, right? You know, what is free will? Is free will really a thing, right? These are really beautiful, profoundly meaningful conversations. But for the sake of today's discussion, let's assume that at least to some degree, we have the capacity to transform ourselves. And that this class, the practices within the class, the ideas within the class can give us some techniques, some tools, some inspiration for that process, right? Wouldn't you want to be? Again, I'm just using confidence as an example, but for myself, I would say I'm working on, even with this class, right? I'm getting more confident writing emails. True story. I really like, for me, I'm paranoid about writing emails. I'm always worried about making errors and looking ridiculous. I'm worried about people judging what I write in terms of like, it's, because here's the thing, I don't know where to put a comma, so I'm using Grammarly, which has been very helpful. And I think it's likely the case that in high school or something, I had a teacher who was like rude to me or something about just my writing. That being said, I'm getting more confident because I have to be writing a lot of emails now. We're all online, right? So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to learn by doing. I'm going to implement new things, aka Grammarly. And I'm not going to hold myself back. I'm not going to read the email over 20 times. That's the real issue, right? I used to read emails over 5-10 times, and I'm like, you know what? I just don't have the time for this anymore. This is the first week of the semester, and I'm like, I'll get nothing done. I'll be writing emails all semester if I don't learn how to be a little more confident, again, implement a new strategy, learn how to focus intently, and, you know, again, with Prosake over that first rereading, and then just got to click send, right? And if I made an error, it's okay. It's not the end of the world, right? The idea, too, of being judged, that's because I'm also a little bit of a perfectionist. And we will talk about that because that's a very common thing. Me being a perfectionist about emails will prevent me from sending emails, which is worse than me sending an email with an error in it. Because at least with an error, we're communicating something meaningful or useful potentially. All right, so being a perfectionist gets in our way of doing anything. And getting something good, getting something done that's good enough is better than not getting something done at all. We're going to get into that, right? So that being said, I need to transform myself. So see what I just did there? I took the idea of I used to be lacking confidence sending emails, and I'm still rereading them. I'm still using Grammarly. I'm still trying to be careful. I'm still talking about it now, because ultimately I haven't, totally left behind, let's say, that perfectionism and that fear of being judged that plagued my old email habit, which was reading them over 10 times and just taking way too much time. Right? So I had to practice philosophy. I'm like, ask myself, what am I really afraid of here? Not being perfect. All right, well, nobody's perfect. What do I have to do to be the best professor I can be? I have to send these emails out. Let's get to it. Right? That's spiritual progress. Small example, of course, but nonetheless, I do think I'm calmer when I'm sending emails, and that helps me a lot because I'm sending a lot of emails now. I'm more effective. I'm calmer. I'm less of a perfectionist. All of this is because I was able to have conversations with myself, get down to the root cause, and everybody will benefit from this. Right? So let's keep going here. And this is number four. And again, I'm highlighting certain elements of our syllabus. I do think I'm hoping my lectures will be useful in and of themselves, but I do think it would be beneficial to have maybe the reading out in front of you a little bit. If not, maybe you read it beforehand, maybe read it after. I think that would also be fine. So that being said, I think maybe have a pen in hand. Also, when you listen to these, might be a good idea, but I do think, and I'm trying my best to give episodes that are useful. You can listen to them when you're going for a walk or something like that too. I think that might be an interesting part of the class as well. So why are we here? Once again, right? Wisdom then was a way of life in the ancient world, right? In ancient philosophy, which should bring us peace of mind, inner freedom, and cosmic consciousness. These are three really great goals, right? Peace of mind, back to this idea of peace, right? How do we create peace for ourselves, tranquility with our thinking? Well, some thoughts we have to learn how to maybe, let's say, relate to in a healthier way. Right? Again, maybe we're dealing with situations where we're feeling very anxious. When we're anxious, we're not at peace. Well, next time you get anxious, try this. Again, this is a good kind of first day. I'll throw it out there. We'll revisit this too, right? When you're anxious, try this. Ask the thoughts, are you true? Are you real? Is this happening now? Are you useful? If the answers are no, right, we could try to move away from that thought. So we're acknowledging the anxious thought or the anxious line of thinking, right? And let's define anxiety just as a negative thought or negative thinking about the future. So you're seeing the future, you're seeing it negative. And I think another part of anxiety usually is that not only do you see the future as negative, but you see yourself as incapable of dealing with that negative potential future, right? So we have a whole lot of readings on anxiety. I think we're going to love those readings because it's such a common thing. It's almost a natural part of being, I would not even say almost. I think being a person, it's like we're all anxious a little bit at least, right? Because we're blessed and cursed with the capacity for imaginations. Other animals don't deal with this. My sister's dog just wants to hang out, eat peanut butter, eat my rug. I mean, this is a true story. The dog just doesn't, they're not worried about tomorrow. We have this capacity. We have to learn how to control it. It affects our peace. Those questions get us, one, out of our feelings a little bit because now we're thinking. We're examining the feeling. We're examining ourselves. Questions have a tendency, too, to stop us, slow us down, which is a good thing. Again, back to philosophy, right? Pursuing truth through questions. It's a good thing to do with anxiety. Because if it's not helping us, if it's not true, why bother with it? Right? So we're acknowledging it and we're not getting carried away by it. We're stopping it with a different type of questions. Not what if this happens and what if this happens? Oh, wait a minute. Is any of this true? Is any of this helpful? Why, so again, it changes the conversation. Inner freedom, once again, is the idea, I think, that we don't succumb to or we're not carried away by our emotions. Because to say that we lack freedom might be to say that when the external world influences us, we're unable to disconnect ourselves. We're too easily controlled and influenced, perhaps by external or internal things. One major idea we're going to talk about that'll come up a lot, I think I invented this word. It's the idea of a flying thought or a flaut. is what we'll call it. So how do we deal with thoughts that seemingly might come out of nowhere and start imp-